fighting for America.
Hamas doesn't care about the civilian population in Gaza. They embed themselves in civilian areas. They use hospitals and schools and mosques. They want those civilians dead.
Fighting for Idaho.
And the Harry Reid Senate has become a factory for show votes, where votes are made that are more interested in winning votes for Democrats in November elections than they are for winning jobs for the American people. That's become the norm.
Fighting for you.
It's one thing to listen to people and to talk with them when you're a candidate for a position. Now, I think that we might have a qualitatively different conversation, and I want to listen first before trying to give my views.
Voices Mr. Right. Kevin Miller in the morning.
We need to look out for one another, and that's what we try to do here each and every day.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Good morning. Welcome. Thank you all for joining us. Do appreciate you listening. Once again, thank you, Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, as we move along. Kevin Miller in the morning here. We're joined by our great friend, Nagmaid Abedini. Nagmaid, good to have you with us.
Good morning, Kevin.
And, you know, we had a chance to talk and see each other at the God and Country, and we really appreciated your inspirational message, and thank you very much for that.
Well, it was great seeing you. Thank you for all of your continued support. It really means a lot to our family.
Well, there was some big news this week, and I know you posted something on Facebook, but before we get to that, let's go to Idaho Senator Jim Risch. And for those that don't understand what we're talking about here or don't understand the context, we're going to play a comment, and Nagmaid will get your reaction to it.
Ms. Sherman, in the kindest and gentlest terms previously, I have urged that you do something about getting Pastor Abedini and the other two Americans released. I was incredibly critical of you guys because you cut billions loose without demanding this tiny, tiny little thing as far as Iran is concerned. I want to ratchet that up a little bit. You did it again. You've cut billions loose without getting those three guys released. Do me a favor. Do America a favor. Do the Abedini family a favor. Tell them next time you're not going to give them any more money unless they kept these three people loose. I can almost guarantee you they're going to do that. You're talking about billions of dollars, and you're talking about three people that we really, really need out of prisons in Iran. Try it. Just try it and see what happens. I'm willing to bet you they're going to cut those three loose in return for the money that you have available to give them.
Nagma, your thoughts?
I think I couldn't have said it any better. There's got to be motivation, and money's always motivation. And it's Iran's not motivated to release the prisoners, including my husband. And, Senator Risch has been wonderful in being very vocal about this. He said it the first time. He said, why are we releasing funds? And they, not that they're related, but when they're holding Americans, they should first release the Americans before we even take next steps with Iran. And I think he says he'll guarantee that they would be released. I agree. I agree that if money is involved and Iran has to, there's some kind of repercussion and penalty or something, that Iran money will be held back, they would be here today. They would be free today. And so I agree. And, it's interesting that our senator from Idaho suggests this, and it's really logical. And if I was sitting there, I would say the exact same thing. And so I agree, and I really appreciate that he brings up every opportunity to speak out for Saeed and other prisoners in Iran.
Nagmaid Abedini with us, 580 KIDO. Nagmaid, let's talk about your husband. You had a recent emotional post on Facebook. Could you describe it for us for people that didn't get a chance to look at it?
Yes, as we just talked about with Senator Risch, this is really personal. It's frustrating. Our senator's frustrated. Why are we doing this? Saeed could be home today. And it's really taking a toll on our family, the kids. Any father, any family, anyone would understand, even if you're not a father or a mother, that when a child's separated, when someone's gone from your family, you see their empty space, you miss them. And you long for them. And my kids have had this for 2 years. And it's taking a toll on them. I've been taking my daughter to, a child psychologist and going through some of the issues, her emotions there. And And it's just, it's really emotional. I want them, I want people to see the human side of this. It's been 2 years of news, but this is not news. This is a family that's hurting. And it's because someone's being held in Iran illegally because of their Christian faith. And we just need to get them home. And it's a very painful time for our family.
Now, I mean, what's the word out of Iran? What's going on there lately?
We're not really, you know, we're seeing a lot of Secretary of State Kerry said something during, you know, a religious freedom report on Iran, on Saeed. We're seeing a lot of talk, but we're not really seeing Iran react or really do much or say much. They say, well, we don't really have, you know, religious, you know, prisoners. We have, you know, they say a lot of, you know, a lot of things that is just is pretty much saying, you know, back off. This is our deal with Saeed. And but they're not really responding to all these comments by John Kerry or anyone else. So I agree with Senator Risch. If money is involved, then they will release him. Right now, all they're seeing is talk. And we're really not seeing much from Iran. We're not really seeing any actions from Iran. They're just keeping him still, and they don't seem to be moved by all of these talks.
Well, you just wonder if that instability in that region is percolating over there with Iraq, with Syria, mm-hmm. with Hamas and everything else, because the Iranians are always up to something.
You know, yeah, I agree. It's just, you never know with Iran, you never know.
What about you? And again, you know, for those of us listening, we feel for you, we pray for you. But these aren't words, these are actions that you live each and every day. How are you? And you told us a little bit about the kids, but how are you holding up? And we'll just start with that.
Well, it's just, you know, we've talked about this before, and, we spoke at the God and Country event. Every day that I can even get up is a miracle, because I think today, I wake up thinking he's not here. My kids are in pain. You know, as I shared, I've shared videos, my kids are hurting, and he's still not home. And my life has just been crazy the last 2 years. And there's, you know, as anyone would expect, there's a lot of anxiousness and different things that hit me in the morning. And every day that I can even get up is a miracle. It's really God's grace in my life. So it's a battle every day, but I've been able to be strong and through my faith, and to be able to just, stand strong and do what I can every day, because really my faith has really carried me through and giving me the strength and peace that I need.
And we'll talk a little bit more about your faith in God in a minute, but what has this taught you, this experience that we, again, hope and pray and wish that it were over, about people?
People in general?
The people that you've met, you've traveled the world.
Yeah, you know, I guess when you go through suffering or a trial, you realize your eyes open up to you realize everyone's going through some kind of trial. I guess I didn't really see that before as much. And I realize a lot of people are going through a lot of anxiety and issues, relational issues, and unfortunately, divorce and the things the kids go through and you know, the adults go through with that, and cancer and loss of loved ones and, you know, their own illness. Everyone, you know, people wake up and they're dealing with some kind of illness, and there's something everyone's going through. And I just really learn, and through my pain, how to deal with that and how to embrace my suffering and my pain. To really get me into more intimacy with God, and it really gives me even more in peace and joy. Even when the harder the trial gets, the harder I cling and really thrive even under the worst of conditions. And, you know, I've been able to offer that to people and say, hey, this is something real. God is something real. And you can get closer to that source through your worst pains and receive something that's just mind-boggling, some peace and joy in the worst times of your life. And it's not natural. And so I realize everyone goes through the insecurities of the economy and finances. I mean, the list can go on and on. And so many people go through so much anxiety and worries and pains every single day. And So I've been able to see that and help other people with their pain.
No, I was going to say, on one hand, you've seen and you experienced the ultimate evil with your husband being taken for believing in Jesus Christ. And on the other hand, you've seen the goodness of people that you've spoken to, that you've traveled the world. You know, one minute you're in Boise, you're in your home in Idaho, the next minute you're in Zurich.
And, you know, as you said, another amazing thing has been seeing people really come together when something happens. And, you know, I've been amazed by fellow Idahoans, but really across the world, across the U.S. as I've traveled and across the world, that people really just seeing the good side of humanity, I guess. That really people come together and they care from all over the world, not from just, you know, Idaho and the U.S., but across Europe and places I've been. And so that's been really encouraging, that when someone's hurting, there's a lot of compassion. And we've seen that when something bad happens in our nation, everyone gets together and does something. And I've been able to be on the receiving end of that as well, and seeing a lot of people be supportive and come alongside. And that's been pretty amazing.
Whether it's at the state capital or the nation's capital.
Exactly. Yeah.
Nagmaid Abedini with us here. Kevin Miller in the morning at 580 KIDO. What has been the most telling thing for you during your travels? Because, again, we follow you on Facebook. You're always keeping people informed. I mean, on one hand, you're raising your children as a single parent right now, not by your choice, but by the choice of the Iranian government. And then, on the other hand, you have a responsibility to continue to raise awareness for your husband until he's released.
That was something I dealt with, guilt, I guess, as I'm sure a lot of parents deal with in trying to balance work, and which is really to bring, for the good of the family to time. And I when Saeed was taken, I felt my kids, I need to be home with the kids all the time and be there. And a few months out, you know, into it, I decided to become more vocal and go into the media and travel. And it's always finding the balance of being a single mom and how much, where do I, travel and still be an advocate for my husband, which is also for my kids, to bring him home. And where do I, how do I do a balance of being a mom and a wife and an advocate for my husband? So it's been a hard struggle trying to find that balance. And I guess not feeling guilty about the travel, but every opportunity that comes up, I have to decide. You know, I'm a single mom. It's not like I can travel, or you know, I have a husband who can travel and someone can stay home. And my kids are, you know, stay with their grandparents, but still, they need that. They've lost their dad. They need some kind of a stability at home with their mom. And so it's always a decision I have to make. Where do I go and what do I do and how do I keep that balance?
Nagmaid, please stand by. More with our great friend Nagmaid Abedini. I mean, KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Thank you all for joining us.
In your trust every morning, Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
KIDO, Nagmaid Abedini with us, with the latest on her husband, Pastor Saeed. Your thoughts on anything that people can do locally or nationally?
You know, as we've said before, you can always contact, you know, our local government officials and also the State Department, right? You can, you know, send a quick email saying this is an important issue. It does, every voice does actually get to them and gets them to, you know, try and do something. Also, I'm doing a prayer vigil end of this month, and there's one in Boise, or end of September, where it's Saeed's anniversary, second-year anniversary in prison. So that's in front of our city, state capitol building. And so, anything to bring awareness in your community, send, you know, message to local governments, you know, State Department. Really, every single voice counts, and it makes a difference.
Are you surprised by the concern not only Senator Risch has had, but of Senator Cruz and Senator Paul?
You know, yes, I've been really encouraged that they've been so outspoken and supportive. You know, Senator Risch has been wonderful, but also to get our supports of Senators Cruz and Rand Paul has been pretty, you know, pretty amazing. And that's what we need. We need to have, you know, more senators and congressmen speaking out and putting pressure on the State Department. And things like what Senator Risch is doing, that, you know, we need to make a move that really matters, that really will make Iran do something and not just say something, you know, not just have our government say something, but something that will motivate Iran to release these prisoners. So, yes, I've been very encouraged. Senator Cruz came to the prayer vigil last year we had for Saeed. He went to the one in Washington, D.C., and, yeah, he went after his filibuster and 20-some hours of, you know, not sleeping. And so it was really amazing seeing him there and praying for Saeed. And he's been very vocal. He's you know, said, we're with you. And I've been able to meet both Senator Cruz and Rand Paul and just amazed by their support and their hearts. Not only for Saeed, but for religious freedom issues. And that's really great to see that we have senators like that who care about issues like that.
Well, you bring up a great point here at 580KIDO. Not only are we talking about your husband who's been in prison, but it seems like it's open season on Christians around the world.
It is. It's people don't, I don't know if a lot of people realize it's been Christianity's under attack. Especially right now in the Middle East, it's in the danger of just being wiped out from the Middle East completely. It's they're being targeted, they're being killed, they're being put in prison. There's not has been such a huge attack on Christians, not only in the Middle East but worldwide, and it's just horrific what's happening. You know, our family's been touched by that, but it's, I mean, people are being killed and raped and tortured and put in long-term imprisonment, you know, decades, just simply because of what they believe and nothing else. And as I mentioned, people like Senator Cruz and Rand Paul, and there's senators and government officials, they say, this is not right. You know, we care about what's happening with Saeed, but we care about the bigger picture that, that this is a religious freedom issue. There's parts of the world and it's spreading and it might, you know, reach our soil that that if you believe differently, then you're killed and this is not right. And so, you know, those senators have been, and, you know, Senator Risch too, have been very vocal about religious freedom issues, which is part of our founding values, which I appreciate that they are so vocal about that.
Let me ask you a philosophical religious question. What's the deal between the radical Islam and the regular Islam and Christianity? Can regular Islam and Christianity coexist?
I think the main issue, and I've spoken with some Muslim leaders who do believe that religion and state should be separated in Islam. I think the major issue we'll always have with Islam is that it in its essence, it has to be political, and it has to conquer. If you separate and say, okay, let's just, you know, let it be just an Islamic religion, that's fine. Which Christians, you know, in a lot of Christian countries, they allow that. You say you're Muslim, you can be a Muslim. You're a Buddhist, but with Islam, it has to be political. It has to. It's in its essence. I've met some amazing human rights Muslims who have said, you know, let's separate the two, and the people want their head, the Muslim, you know, especially the hardliners, because that means you have to change the Quran, you have to change the whole system of Islam, because in its essence, it is political. Where in Christianity, Jesus said, don't get involved with the politics. And it's, in its essence, Christianity is not political, so it doesn't get polluted. It can just be a religion. And that's always going to be a struggle if, you know, a majority of Muslims really aren't really you know, I guess they're not hardliners in terms of they're not really, in a way, really promoting or practicing Islam to the extent the book says. The hardliners are the ones that are, you know, trying to follow it to the T. But really, the struggle will always be that Islam does promote state and religion to be the same. And so you see in a lot of places where Islam has spread or has a foothold, it's really the state run is really it's like Middle East where Islam was founded and has the most countries that are following it. You see chaos. You see a woman, you know, being killed for driving cars. You see control over the state by the religion, and you see that because of that, religion and state really aren't supposed to be together. It becomes about control. It becomes about power, and it becomes really corrupt. And so, in a lot of countries that you see, and now where France is dealing with what's happening in their country with a lot of these Muslim communities and what they're doing, you know, a lot of radicals and England's facing that now, where now Muslims are coming and telling the English woman, you need to be covering up. So in its essence, it really once it gets into a location, it really has to conquer that, and it has to force its belief on those people. That's what in its essence is. Whereas Christianity really doesn't do that. It says you're free to choose what you want to choose. You know, and so I think that's the main difference.
Nagmaid, we appreciate it. Let's talk and see what we can do as far as to join you in your prayer rally and certainly promote it. We'll be in touch to pump that up.
Okay, thank you so much, Kevin. I appreciate your support.
Well, God bless, and you're in our prayers, ma'am.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There you have it. Nagmaid Abedini with us here. Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO.
Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men.
Men, 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 manly men.
Men, 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 manly men.
580 KIDO, it is the one, the only nationally broadcast manly man segment here at 580 KIDO. Good morning, Dave.
Nationally?
Well, yes, nationally via 580kido.com.
The power of the internet.
The only segment of a show, the only show really dedicated to men specifically, that's not afraid to say, hey, it's about you guys.
Mm-hmm. We're willing to take our shoes off and let our socks stink.
Precisely.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, you know, with all the ideas of the glass ceiling, I think that the men have been caged in, so this is a chance for the men to be let out of the house and run wild and free.
Probably not a good idea in your case, Kev. Just saying. Just saying.
Well, here we go. It looks like a ceasefire at the Gaza Strip. You know, it's interesting. You take a look at this technology of the Iron Dome. And what was it, 3,000, 4,000 missiles that have hit mm-hmm. Israel? And the Iron Dome has intercepted a bunch. Really, isn't that just the Star Wars technology that Reagan talked about?
Yeah, that crazy Ronald Reagan and his ideas, you know, but it seems to work.
Yeah.
I just about drove off the road yesterday as I heard a news report. Wasn't on our station. It was another station. But
wait a minute. You weren't listening to our station?
I punch around everywhere. I keep track of the pulse of the Treasure Valley. And it was a national report, and they said that that there's peace in the Gaza Strip. In other words, we aren't talking about peace in Israel. It was as if, you know, the Palestinians, the shelling of the Palestinians has stopped. How about the shelling the other direction, too? You know, it's just, I thought, wow, that's just interesting. The way the whole story was written, it was as if finally the Israelis have, you know, gotten off the throat of the poor Palestinians.
Yes. And I always like it how they say to each other, well, you know, it's an equal thing. No, it isn't. When the last ceasefire, what the Hamasians, the terrorists went out and started attacking the Israelis again through the tunnels.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny. The media always tries to, I don't know how you'd say it, but to legitimize comparing, you know, this death versus that death, these versus those. You know, how many U.S. soldiers have died, but yet how many Afghanis have died? You know, There's no comparison when it comes to trying to think of the word. Just when it comes, well, anyway, it's, the media tries to make too much of a comparison that there's equality as far as justification goes.
Right, that you know, the each side is at fault when in fact the Israelis just want to live in peace. And I'll tell you, this administration here at 580 KIDO has really surprised me. They've gotten away with, pardon my French, everybody, screwing the old people and really sticking it to Israel. Before Barack Obama, no politician, Democrat or Republican, could ever get away with those two things.
Oh yeah, but now it's okay. It's okay to do that, but. Yeah, see, you know, and you're going to have those who are going to say, no, they're, you know, Israel's totally wrong. Well, you know, I don't know how if you were in Detroit and Canada was lobbing shells into Detroit, how you would sit by and not do anything.
Right.
I would, well, maybe we wouldn't. We might not do anything, but you would think we would retaliate in some way.
Well, that might happen with the southern border one day.
But, you know, it's not totally out of the question that suddenly you could have, you know, mortar rounds lobbed into El Paso. Could happen.
Well, there are already, what, helicopters firing on Border Patrol agents.
So the question is, you know, what do we do at that point? Go, hey now, we're going to put sanctions on you. I don't know. That might
be. Hasn't really worked for Putin.
No. Well, I don't know. We haven't seen any pictures of him riding shirtless on a horse on the beach lately. So maybe it is working.
I suppose. And, you know, it's funny because I was doing the hot list last night and, like, the border crisis was, like, the fourth story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you have the Ebola and everything. Ebola, that's what I like to call it. Ebola running wild. And here's the thing. And Donald Trump tweeted about this, and we've been talking about it. But let's bring it up at the Manly Man segment here at 580 KIDO. And, you know, should we be bringing these people, those people, into our country?
The infected doctors and whatnot.
Right.
My personal feeling. Am I allowed to have a personal feeling?
In the Manly Man segment.
Okay. No, treat them there. Why would you bring that here? But then the Center for Disease Control already has a patent on one of the strains of Ebola.
Wow.
I know. That's kind of a weird thing. And their comment is, well, that's so we can do research on it. Well, why have you got a patent on it? But nonetheless, they have a patent on it. So it's not like the strain isn't already in a tube somewhere here in the country. But no, my feeling is, why would you risk? I would just as soon pay the expense of flying the medical team there with the medication there to treat them in a hospital or a hotel or something there, as opposed to flying them back here.
Well, the expense.
I don't care.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I agree with you. The expense is just too much.
Yeah. You know, treat them there. And the other question is, and I know a lot of these countries are saying, the experimental drugs that they're using on the U.S. people to treat them, why aren't those drugs available to the people in those countries? Because it seems to be working.
Here's the issue, though. I mean, is it our role to, I mean, don't those countries have a duty to take care of their own people?
Understanding the nature of politics of those other countries, you know, a lot of times that doesn't happen. They're even more corrupt governments than ours.
Okay, but
allegedly.
But building upon that, I just don't understand where the money's going. I mean, I know where it's going, but it's like, you know, let's face it here at 580 KIDO, Dave Burnett, that we're running out of money for us. Now he's going to send
No, you got that wrong. We're not running out of money. We already have. We're on borrowed time.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He's going to send like $350 billion over to Africa, and that's noble, and that's great, and that's wonderful for the Africans, but what about people here?
Well, a bigger question to me would be, if you look at the clinics in some of these cities, they're just shacks. It's not like you're looking at St. Jude Research Hospital. They are shacks that they're treating these people in. You go drop millions of dollars in that's a very good question. Where's the money going? And is there a filter on it to make sure the money's going where it should be going? To treat and take care of the people and to find some humanitarian help. I think there is a certain amount of responsibility we have for humanitarian help. Or maybe not responsibility, but just commitment for humanitarian help. But is there a filter on it to see where that money's going? I don't know.
I do have something for you. Now, this happened when you were gone, and we had Robin comment on it, but I want to revisit this. This is the Jim from Star versus gun-toting Pat conversation. This has to do with gun safety. And I want you to judge this, whether or not Jim was out of line. Are you ready for this?
Okay.
And you heard about it, but you didn't actually hear the debate, right?
No.
Okay, here we go.
I think you should give him a second chance.
Oh, that's Pat from Middleton, sorry.
I can't believe what I witnessed. She reaches down into her bra, which I'm cool with that. That part's okay. It's sort of sexy. But then she pulls...
Sort of sexy?
This is a family value show.
I was just trying to add a little spice. So then she pulls out this, what I believe to be, is that a derringer you had?
It's a derringer.
Yeah. Pulls it out, points it at the hardest working man in show business here, Kevin Miller. Right at him. You did too. Hey, I'm not saying this to be a jerk. I'm saying this, there's a way to handle a gun, and that is totally the wrong way.
Whether you're saying it to be a jerk or not, you're a jerk.
Good. You pointed it right at him, and you thought it was no big deal. The gun could have slipped, hit the edge of the table. Next thing you know, Kevin's dead.
Well, I had a good run.
Yeah. And I know you did. You had a good run. Gotcha. I just saw you pull that gun out and it pointed right at him, and then you fumbled around with it.
Oh, give me a break.
That was, oh, you shouldn't have a gun. You need training. You need training.
Oh, and you need to go away.
No, I don't.
Do you always carry a derringer, a gun in your bra?
No. Very definitely, I know what I'm doing.
No, you don't. You clearly don't.
Yeah,
no one pulls a gun out.
You're as full of it as a Christmas goose.
Goose. I knew that was coming. That was a good one.
I'm just going back to the derringer and the bra.
Yeah, well, listen.
I'm 77. I managed to get this.
You're old
far.
Enough to be my mom.
I'm old enough to be your grandmother.
No, not
get
quite.
Get off my back.
I'm still going back to the derringer and the bra.
Yeah. She might have been one of the original Bonds women, you know, one of the James Bond women.
I'm just used to putting up with nonsense, and this is nonsense.
No, this is not. Better. She's a sweet lady. I'm not. Don't take.
No, I'm not a sweet lady.
You're a sweet lady.
I
can tell. We should.
Would you like to have a shoot off with him?
Hell no.
Why? I thought you were a good shot.
I don't hang out with guys who beat up on old ladies.
You're beat up on old ladies.
You know, she does have a point. You are beating up on, you know. I'm going back to, again, the derringer, where it was.
He's derringer in the bra.
Yeah.
And who knows?
When he calls me a monkey, I'm supposed to go have a shoot-off with him. Are you kidding? Yeah.
Would you pull your gun out and show us how you handle that in front of...
He's not wearing a brassiere.
I cannot.
Would you like to give her a swat on the butt?
Maybe. But... The thing is,
would you allow him to give you a swat?
I wouldn't count on that, turkey.
It's got to be swift and just punishment, and that's why
I'm talking about the swat.
Swift and just.
I put the gun on the table. I did not point it at him. You're as full of it as
a Christmas goose.
Right. I don't need some smart aleck giving me a lecture.
Yeah. Don't give her a lecture.
I've managed to get along all these many
barely.
Years with oh yeah.
Your thoughts.
What's the question? I don't remember what the question was.
Well, she pulled out a gun from her bra. First of all, I wonder about the etiquette there.
What?
Pulling out the gun from the bra.
If you have a concealed weapons permit, you can conceal it anywhere you want. So what's the next question?
Well, whether or not she followed gun etiquette.
Was the barrel of the gun ever pointed at you?
Yeah.
That's just sloppy gun handling.
She set it down on the table. I mean, it wasn't deliberate.
Yeah, I mean, when he says you pointed the gun at you, it's not that it was aimed at you. It was sloppy gun handling, which is not good. That's how accidents happen.
Right. I thought it was a spirited contest, though.
Yeah, I guess. I just don't know what the question was again.
Gun etiquette.
Yeah. No, sloppy gun handling, if that's the case. I didn't see it wasn't there, but you said at one point the barrel was pointed at you. Sloppy gun handling.
I thought it was a lively debate.
Well, if you want to talk about the guys swatting elderly women on the behind, I guess.
Anything to get people's attention, Dave.
Oh, even having guns pointed at you? That's not good, Kevin.
Well, you know, when people say, what have you done to bring attention to 580K IDO?
That's it.
What have you done to bring in new people or... To keep them listening longer. That, you know.
That's it.
Pointing the gun, the women pulling out the gun from their bras, a young guy slapping her on the butt. You know what I'm saying. Anything, you know, there's nothing that we won't do to bring in more folks.
There you go.
I'm just saying.
I would like to have been there.
It was a lively group. It was Tea Party Bob. We had your friend Liberal Steve, who texts me every morning to see if he's allowed back in. I keep telling him he's grounded.
Oh, okay. There you go.
I said he's got to make the case to you.
You just can't be distracted from what you do.
I totally agree with you, and I keep saying, hey, be a good boy. And
it's hard enough to keep you focused.
Well, isn't that an advantage these days? Everybody's ADD.
Might have to pull a gun on you, keep you focused. Crying out loud. Kevin, your traffic now as you're coming out of Canyon County.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And it is 69 in the City of Trees. Kevin Miller in the morning. Coming up, we'll talk about dealing with the student loan debt. We'll also take a look at what's going on in Israel and Gaza. And the Ebola virus, how comfortable are you having those folks come into this country? 580-5436, those are the numbers. You can always reach us via Kevin at KIDOAM.com, Twitter at 580KIDO. And by the way, new Kevin Miller hot list out there dealing with the Ebola virus as well. Let's take a look at traffic and weather at 580KID. Would you be, how should I put this, would you be offended if a teacher in your school actually told your kids or your kids' friends to speak English? Well, one principal did, and it didn't get her a promotion. It cost her job. We'll give you the troubling details plus your reaction coming up. We're just getting started. Thank you for joining us, 580KIDO.
Serving Emmett.